Thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymere Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymerebaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
The reading today is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. It's John 20, verses 19 to 23. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins will be forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Well, I want to welcome you to what I hope will be a very special Sunday, a Sunday that hopefully one day we will look back on and say something significant started that day and I was there. So I hope that this will become one of those sorts of events. I want to launch for us today our refreshed mission statement. And I say refreshed because I don't think it's going to be a remarkable difference from where we've been. I don't think as a church we have felt that we've been going in one direction and God's calling us in a completely opposite one. I don't even think that we're trying to turn much to the right or to the left. But it is a fresh expression of what we feel God has called us to as a people. And I think that's fairly significant. As Ryan said, I asked if they would sing New Horizons because this began largely out of 2015 and that suggestion and that belief that God was indeed leading us into new possibilities and new opportunities. And one of our emphases as a community in 2015 and continuing into this year has been a commitment to prayer. Now, that's not, again, radically new. That's not a change of direction. It's not like Guymere Baptist Church never prayed and we decided to start. But it was something that we renewed our commitment to. And I know that many of you have been very faithful in praying for the church in our new horizons, in our transition. I thank you for that. I've tried in my own way to be faithful in prayer as well. My prayer for us has been that we would be the recipients of a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that that would result in part in a fresh vision. A fresh vision of what God has called us to. And can I say that in what I'm going to share this morning, I believe that God has been faithful. While we have grappled with this in our human capacity, I believe that God is in this as well. That this is more than just some word from the leadership or from the senior pastor, but in a way that goes beyond just our kind of working away at it, it's a word from God for us. And I trust that it will be that way for you as well. Let me give you a little bit of the background and process, just in case you're wondering, you know, did I just pray for a while and then have kind of a burning bush experience in the office one day and the vision came to me in a thus saith the Lord? Didn't happen that way at all. About middle of last year, I sat down with the staff and we began to think a little bit about what a refreshed mission statement might look like. We started asking questions about outcomes and our desires and what we felt God was leading us to. Took those same questions to the church leadership team, which is the board of our deacons, and we bashed them around for a while. And then early this year, Ryan Day, who led New Horizons, Roxanne Lawler, who's our children's ministry coordinator, and Mark Coleman, our associate, and I spent a half day in January working through where we felt we'd kind of gotten to. We took that modified document to a leadership gathering on the 6th of February that some of you were involved in. There were about 50 of our leaders that day, and we kind of ran it past that group as well. We walked away with about 11 pages of feedback when it all got typed up by Donna in the office. And in our staff retreat that week, we actually spent a whole bunch of time in smaller groups as a staff working through what we'd heard from you. From that, Ryan and Mark and Roxanne and I met one last time for an entire Friday morning. And at the end of that Friday morning, I turned to them and said, "So are we ready?" And Ryan looked and said, "Yes, we're ready. We're not done, but we're ready." Ready, it means that we can start the process. Done is all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed. We're nowhere near that. but I hope that this will end up functioning within our community as a really significant statement for us. And I want to introduce it to you. But before I do, let me just say one last thing about mission statements. Mission statements function a lot like proverbs. Now, proverbs are short, pithy, memorable statements of generalized truth. And because they're short, pithy, and memorable, they're not long. They don't say everything that can be said about that particular topic. And mission statements function the same. They cannot say everything. So when the mission statement comes up in a moment, you're going to look and you're going to see a bunch of stuff that's not there. We can play what's not there bingo later on, because I'm pretty sure we know all the things that you'll be looking for. We tried to fit them in ourselves, but we ended up with a mission paragraph, which was not particularly memorable. And so I want to kind of outline some of what we're talking about. So here's the mission statement as it stands at this point in time. Everywhere we go and in everything we do, we will invite everyone to follow Jesus. I'm still waiting for the orchestral overture that indicates that that's a really significant moment in the life of the church, and it has yet to happen, so we need to kind of get an orchestra or something, I suppose. Let me kind of unpack that a little bit for you and try to make some sense of what that statement is all about and what it might mean for us today. Let me begin by pointing out that I think the most significant part of that statement is actually the last little bit about following Jesus. This is our fundamental task. We are those who are followers of Jesus. We are not primarily a not-for-profit. We are not a charity. We are not a philanthropic organization. We're not a community organization. We are a community of faith, a group of people who have placed their faith in Jesus and are trying to learn what it means to follow him. Now, even the term follow Jesus, I mean, that just means everything, doesn't it? I mean, it implies, first of all, that we are following him because we love him. We didn't include it. We included it, and then we took it out. It implies that we love Jesus. That's the motivation. It implies all of the virtues. It implies head knowledge and attitudes and all sorts of things that we couldn't say in one short statement. But fundamentally, we are about following Jesus. And following Jesus is what modifies everywhere and everything. Because following Jesus isn't something you do when you come to church. Following Jesus isn't something you do when you're having a particular spiritual moment. You know, well, I'm going to take a moment and pray and follow Jesus, and I'll get back to what I was doing beforehand. No, following Jesus encompasses every aspect of our lives. And there is no place where following Jesus doesn't make sense. Because we believe that in Jesus, he has begun the restoration and renewal of everything. Of every aspect of our lives as individuals, as communities, and as a society and a world, as hard as that is to believe. And therefore, following Jesus is both this kind of all-encompassing but never-ending task. No one can say, I'm done following Jesus, in the sense of, I've completed the following bit, now you can just follow me because Jesus and I are basically the same thing. We are always learning to follow Jesus. For some of you, you might be just beginning. You might not even have committed to follow Jesus yet, but you're starting to figure out what it means to follow him. Others of you have been following Jesus for decades, possibly longer, but let's go with decades. We've been following Jesus a long time, and there's still much to learn and much to grow in. And this is a very significant component of what we're on about. So when we gather together, we want to be talking about what it means for us to love and follow Jesus in everything that we do and everywhere we go. But the central verb really in this little statement is about inviting people to follow Jesus. Inviting people to join us in following Jesus. Inviting one another to continue to learn what it means to love and follow Jesus. And inviting those who do not yet follow Jesus to begin that journey as well. And again, invitation has a kind of an implied sense of relationship. Think about the invitations that you are most likely to respond to and accept. They're the invitations that come from close family and friends, aren't they? Now, when I get a Facebook invitation from, somebody as part of their 400 followers or whatever, I'm less likely to accept that invitation. When a close friend or family member invite me to something, it's a little bit harder to say no, isn't it? There's an implied relationship. There's an implied desire for something deeper. And the great thing about an invitation is it can be rejected without jeopardizing the relationship. If I invite you to dinner and you can't make it, that's all right. I'll see you next week. Invitations are open and welcoming and warm and for the good of those invited. And we want in everything that we do and in everything that and everywhere we go to invite people. In everything that we do. You know, every part of our lives functions as an invitation to others. Sometimes it's our words. Every so often we have the opportunity to verbally invite someone to follow Jesus. To actually stop and say, do you want to begin to follow Jesus? And to pray with someone. And every so often that's beautiful. But most of the time, our primary invitation is how we live. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be exploring the invitation of an obedient, a content, and a dedicated life. How does our obedience to Jesus invite others to follow him? How does our dedication to Jesus invite others to follow him? How does our sense of contentment invite others to follow Jesus? We are those who are inviting others to participate in the relationship that we have with Jesus. But more significantly, when we talk about inviting, inviting modifies this idea of everywhere we go. If you've been around since 2014 here, you will know that we have read John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23 on about 4 occasions. I haven't had anyone complain yet, but it's a really significant passage for myself and I hope for us as a church as well. Because within this, Jesus gives a tremendous commission to us. It's the day of his resurrection. He has already met Mary. Now he comes to the disciples and he speaks peace to them. And then he says these utterly remarkable words, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." He draws an analogy between his ministry that God the Father had given to him and what we are called to do as well. Now, at one level, that's ludicrous, isn't it? Now, the Gospels are very clear that the primary thing Jesus did was to die for the sins of the world. Even if you or I wanted to do that, we probably don't quite meet the qualification of perfection that was required for that as well. So it's unlikely that that's what we're called to. But it's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus then says to them, after he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," he says, "If you forgive the sins of anyone, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven." Now, I don't think this is about authority. I don't think Jesus at this point is saying, "You have the authority. I'm just giving it all to you. You guys figure it out." Ultimately, forgiveness is God's business. But we are called, I think, in this to be agents of forgiveness, agents of reconciliation, agents of restoration. We are called to be not only those who forgive others, extending forgiveness, but also those who introduce people to the forgiveness that comes through Christ, that they might indeed enter a relationship with the very source of life. Everywhere we go relates to the sense that God has actually sent us somewhere. As you go out today, you might notice above the doors are those very words, "As the Father sent me, I am sending you, Jesus." The words will be over your head whether you see them or not. And I think this understanding of being sent actually has some really significant implications for us as a community of faith. I think one of the traps that we can fall into when we have paid ministry staff is assuming that the paid ministry staff are paid to do the ministry, which at one level makes perfect sense. I'm on staff here along with the rest of the staff team, and we are paid and to some degree in order to provide some ministries, to oversee and to supervise and to lead and to organize and all that kind of stuff. But if we end up believing that that's how ministry works, we can fall into two traps. The first is assuming that it's our responsibility as the staff to do the ministry, and you are off the hook somehow from that. The second thing is that we can then misconstrue what we do on a Sunday morning to begin to think that Sunday morning is the main game. Ministry staff, We put something on every week for you. This is the main game. This is what you're paying for. You're paying to come here and we kind of do this thing together. This is the main game. But if we have been sent, this is not the main game. This is halftime, where we give to you the spiritual equivalent of Gatorade and a couple of slices of orange and talk strategy before we send you back out. All we're doing as the ministry staff is encouraging you and trying to tell you what you're doing well, saying, listen, you remember the stuff that you know, the things that the Lord has given to us, the resources that he's provided for you. You know this stuff. Let me make it clear for you. Let's worship together and be reminded of what centers our lives together as the people of God, and then get back out there. I work at a church and a Bible college. The number of people I bump into who are not yet following Jesus is relatively small. You, on the other hand, you work in whole industries where the restorative power of Jesus needs to come to pass. You work in schools where there are very few Christians. You work in places where people have no idea that you could actually follow Jesus at all. The main game is out there. This is halftime. And I think that when we begin to think that stuff through, it's going to make some remarkable differences to how we think about church, how we think about our service and our ministry, and how you think about where you have been, in fact, sent. And I want this mission statement to sink into our language and to shape our behaviors, to become something that is part of us as a church. And what better way to begin that than by giving you a fridge magnet. Nothing says the mission statement has sunk into my life like a fridge magnet, does it? All right, we've got these printed up and we want to encourage you in a moment. We're going to encourage you to pick one up. I want you to stick it on your fridge, but I don't want that to be the end of it. I want you to begin praying this. You know, yesterday I walked down to Oyster Bay Oval. For those of you who've been around for a while, you know that I coach a team down there. It's now the W14As, a team that my daughter Amelia used to play on, and she left, and I'm still coaching them. I'm not exactly certain how that works, but nonetheless, I'm coaching this team. And I was walking down to the bay, and I knew what we were doing today, and so I prayed this. I said, all right, Lord, I'm going down to the bay right now to coach the first game of the soccer season. I believe that you've gone before me, and that it's no accident that I'm here. This is not just my decision to coach a soccer team, but you've got me here for a purpose. That's what I'm going to say. In everything that I do in this game, may I be an invitation to these girls and their families to follow you. Let me tell you, I didn't get anywhere near talking about Jesus in the halftime huddle. I didn't say, okay, girls, let me read a psalm for you to encourage you before you go out there. Let me remind you of the words of the Apocalypse of John, right? I was talking about making the first, good first pass. I was talking about soft receiving of the ball, about switching the field of play. That's what I was talking about. I didn't get anywhere near Jesus. But I like to think that in some small way, my behavior, the way I spoke to them, the way I treated their parents, the way I treated the referee and the opposing coach and the opposing team, that part of that might be, in a very small way, an invitation to follow Jesus. I pray for that group, that I might be a strand in the web of redemption that catches them up. On my own, utterly insufficient, but just one strand. And perhaps one day, someone will have an opportunity to verbally say to one of those girls, do you want to begin to follow Jesus? And I like to think that I might play a small part in that. So they might go, you know what, this is the verbal invitation, but I've actually had a whole bunch of invitations. My coach was one of them, because I know he was a Christian. And in a small way, he invited me to this lifestyle. So pray this prayer. Everywhere you go, everything you do, invite everyone to follow Jesus, even as you are learning to follow Jesus yourself. And so what we're going to do is we're actually going to give you an opportunity to collect one of these fridge magnets, the height of class. They are very classy, by the way, as classy as fridge magnets can get, I suppose. What we're going to do is we're going to have a few at the front of the platform here. And during the next couple of songs, as we conclude together in worship, I'm going to encourage you to come down as an individual, as a couple, as a family, and pick up one of those fridge magnets. Basically, when they're all gone here, they're all gone. We bought only enough so that I don't end up with boxes and boxes of them here with fridge magnets stuck to every metallic surface in the church, right? Which has happened before. I'm sure we got some other fridge magnets from a long time ago. Then we're going to have a few of our prayer team, and the prayer team are just going to be on the side of the building, not in the front. But as you come down, if you want to pick up one of those magnets, again, by yourself, as a couple, as a family, and then if you would like us, we would love to pray a blessing over you. And here's what the blessing will basically be. Heavenly Father, with this family, with this couple, everywhere they go and in everything they do, would you help them to invite everyone to follow Jesus, even as they are learning to follow Jesus? May your blessing and favor be with them. Amen. And then you can return to your seats. If there's something you'd like us to pray about, that's, you know, that's kind of a normal part of our response time, we'd love to take that time to pray for that as well. But the very least, come grab a fridge magnet and then let us pray a blessing on you. And then when you finish and you go out, you get your coffee and you leave, look up. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Get back into the game. You've had your encouragement. You know what to do. You've had your spiritual Gatorade and slice of orange, right? Get back at it. Come back next week. It'll be halftime again or quarter time or something. And we'll take some time then again to encourage and think about what it is that God's calling us to as all of us seek to love and follow Jesus. So I'm going to invite the worship team up. I'm going to take a moment to pray for us. I'm going to invite those who are praying. So George and Sandra Beavis and Nick Lee Coleman and I are going to kind of come to the front and find our kind of a place on either side. We'll array the fridge magnets at the front. And then as we begin to worship together, why don't you just come down? It'll be a bit messy. Apparently it worked in the first service. I just kind of said, this is what we're going to do, and then left. So who knows? But we'll see how this all works. It'll be a little bit messy. It'll be an opportunity for us to, you know, sing and stand and walk and talk and pray all at the same time. Messy's okay. But as Tim and the band kind of get ready to lead us, will you join me? Can I get you to stand, in fact, as we pray together? Heavenly Father, we do, I believe that you are in this. That this goes beyond just some ideas that we've had. But that in the midst of our prayers for our church, that you have been faithful and that you've led us in this whole thing. And that something in these words, although not remarkably unique, your church has always been about this stuff. There's something in this that's for us right here and right now. And I want to pray for all of us that everywhere we go and in everything we do, we might invite everyone to follow Jesus. Even as we are learning to follow Jesus as well. I pray that as we go, we might be just inspired by the sense that you have called us out, humbled and driven to you in prayer, but inspired that we are part of your grand plan and purpose to restore all things in Christ Jesus for the sake of your world and your kingdom and the glory of your name. And we thank you for the opportunity to participate with you in this. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.